A lot of reaction to the self-glossing segment. It was 5 years ago today that I allowed it for one segment and one segment only. Sean Rohasek tweets, Slash in Brentwood is incredible. Johnson LA 1970 tweets, that Crystal Methodist was a badass self-gloss. I spit out my slush all over my car laughing. Nix Hex 0311 tweets, the slash call kills me every time.
Oh.
Norm Hall TX tweets, Zookeeper, please call the Jim Rome Show ASAP. Drunk Bowler 857 tweets, slash is too good. Hitman Canadian tweets, we really need to know how the zookeeper earned that gloss. How many did he bring home? Hippos that night. It's SoCal Jeff tweets, we want the zookeeper. Yeah, floated it out there. I said that I might take that. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a running back for the Tennessee Titans. He's coming off a season where he had 12 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards rushing. He was the AFC Offensive Player of the Month for December, a national champion, a Heisman Trophy winner, a Doak Walker winner, a Maxwell Award winner, Walter Camp Player of the Year as well. He was the 45th pick overall in 2016 out of Alabama. He is appearing courtesy of FedEx Air and Ground Program. Derrick Henry is my guest. Derrick, it's great to have you on. How are you?
How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Great to have you. So the NFL draft starts tonight. Derrick, let me start right there in Nashville. Since you were drafted, you've got a pretty good idea of what that whole thing's about. But for those who do not know about Nashville as a city and a place to be, how would you describe Nashville? What's that town all about?
A very nice town. You know, I'm from the South, so I really like it. You know, you got good food, good music, you know, it's a great city. I'm sure everybody who's down here for the job is really enjoying it, you know, and it's a very nice city, you know, to visit. You know, they have like a lot of bachelor parties here. I think like number one in the U.S. for people to come visit. So, you know, it's a great city to come to, like music, food, and fun.
Smashville, it's a great place. Derrick Henry joining us. So, as I mentioned off the top, you were drafted 3 years ago. As you look back, what do you remember about the entire draft experience? And then, what was it like when you finally heard your name called?
I was very anxious and nervous. You know, I was with my family. And friends and everybody who supported me, like my name to be called, and you know, it was just so surreal that they had finally came. I just couldn't wait. And I got my name called. I was very excited, you know, and one of the best days of my life.
Derrick Henry joining us. Now, you had a great, great college career, as I mentioned. How different are you as a running back now than when you were first drafted? Like, what do you know now that you didn't know then?
I think it's just like learning how to be a pro. You know, and I think as years went on with my experience, you know, I got better and better at doing that. You know, and you know, in the pros, you just have to be consistent and play at a high level each and every year. Now, the great ones did that. The ones you hear about to play my position and play other positions, and that's the main thing, is just focus on being a consistent player and playing consistent, you know, and playing at a high level if you're going to be a superstar in this league.
Now, back in December, you had that 238-yard, four-touchdown game against Jacksonville, and then you had 170-yard, two-touchdown performance the following week. When you look back, Derrick, on last season, and in particular, how you and the team played in the month of December, what kind of thoughts do you have?
You know, we just had great chemistry. You know, we were carrying that momentum each week, you know, and playing at a high level. And that's what's expected, and that's what we should expect, you know, as a team, you know, just continue to keep doing that. And, you know, we added some great additions, you know, to the team this year and building that chemistry, work hard this offseason, you know, and just ready to get started, you know, to put everything around us as a team.
You know, you're looking ahead, but as I go back to that month, that was such a huge month. The team went 4-1. You ran for 625 yards and 8 touchdowns. It was so good that the GM, John Robinson, said, quote, he proved that he could step in there and carry the load, and we'll try to put that right back on him, end quote. So what's your reaction when you hear that the organization knows you can carry that load and they want to put that on your back?
I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's do it.
You know it. Derrick Henry joining us. You know, you look at last season. Maybe it didn't start the way you wanted it to, but then you got it rolling. But during the bye week last year, I know you reached out to Eddie George. What did the two of you talk about, and what was your takeaway from that conversation?
Yeah, just talking about my game and how I was playing. You know, I wasn't playing at a high level. I wasn't running like I was supposed to. He was telling me, you know, I'm a big guy. I use that at my advantage. You know, deliver blows, run physical, finish run. You know, be a consistent player. You know, those things. You know, the things that he did, you know, when he played at a high level, you know, just do those things, you know what I'm saying? Because I wasn't really doing that, you know, just evaluate myself and my game and how I was playing. And, you know, I'm glad he took the time to have a conversation with me, you know, to help me out, you know, when I needed it.
I mean, Derrick, so in terms of that, like, you're a good dude, but the one thing that keeps coming up is that you run hard and you run angry. Is it something that you consciously dial up when you step on the field? Or does that attitude just kind of show up and just happen?
Yeah, it's something that I always want to do, just run angry, run physical. You know, so I'm a big guy, so I kind of have to. You have to have that physical presence, especially playing my position, you know, being a running back in the NFL, because you're always going to get hit. So you got to make sure you're being physical and delivering the blows.
Derrick Henry joining us. Now, you had that monster game against Jacksonville, and you were wearing cleats designed by the Special Olympics athletes. And after that game, they were auctioned off to raise money for Special Olympics Tennessee. The winning bid came from somebody named TitansFan22. For those who aren't tracking, that was you. What did it mean to be able to keep the cleats and to support the Special Olympics at the same time?
Oh, yeah, it's very special because I did Special Olympics, you know, in high school year after year. And I definitely wanted to, you know, do some cleats this time that I really had a passion for and could relate to because I did it back in high school, and I got time to spend time with the kids and let them put their own design on the cleats. So it was a very cool moment, you know, to be able to do that, you know, and spend time with those kids and, you know, to see the design on TV and then me have that game. So it was very cool and a very special moment.
That is cool. Good for you. Now, Alabama's got a couple of really unique running backs in this year's draft. Damian Harris talks about the fact that he used to watch everything you did in games, after games, in the weight room, and that he really appreciates how you showed him the way. He calls you a role model. He said that you set the standard. What's it mean to hear that from him, and then how proud are you of him?
Very proud of Damian. You know, he did do those things. He always asked me for advice. He always takes me, you know, if he needed advice. You know, I had a good relationship when he was there, you know, as a freshman, you know, and he carried that on. And I'm very proud of him. I'm excited for him. Can't wait to see where he goes. And, you know, I know great things are in store for him.
Right, so what about Josh Jacobs? He says he's learned so much from you, too. When you come back to campus and, like, you're like a big brother to him, when you look at Josh as a running back, what do you see and how good can he be?
Very good. I say he's a complete package. He can do it all. Run very hard. He's physical. Gets his nose in there, pass block, pass catching, every tool, you know, he checks every box, you know, that a running back needs, you know, going to the draft that the team is looking for. So I expect him to get picked tonight and have a great impact on which team he goes to. So I'm excited for him as well.
All right, so one last thing before I ask you about the FedEx Air and Ground program, which I'm going to get to. Speaking of the weight room, you're a monster in the weight room, and you recently posted a video with the legend Scott Cochran, the head strength and conditioning coach. What was it like to work out with him back in the day and having him get up in your grill, yell at you, and get you fired up?
Man, it was always fun with Coach Cochran, man. Always high energy, you know, always working hard, you know. So, you know, he definitely, you know, helped a lot of us get where we are today. You know, he's just like a head coach in himself. He spent a lot of time with us. Always bring energy each and every day. So you know you had to bring it when you were working out with Coach Cochran. So it was definitely fun and a lot of great memories.
Right, so did you love the weight room from day one, or is that something you kind of had to grow to love?
I always did as a kid. I loved the weight room. Loved working out. I always had fun.
All right, so you're working with FedEx Air and Ground Program, which supports the USO Pathfinder Program. It helps service members and military spouses transition back to civilian life. What are you doing with them, and what do you like about that program?
I'm just excited to be a part of it, help them announce the $10,000 that they're donating to USO, you know, for the military, and giving them an opportunity to transition to civilian life and supporting the USO Pathfinder program. You know, I think that's very cool, a very great thing that FedEx is doing, you know, I'm just happy to be a part of it on behalf of the 2019 draftees who will be Air and Ground Players of the Week. You know, just so cool. And me be a part of it, I feel like giving back to the military and having this special moment. Having me here, I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Good for you. It's also a really good program, the FedEx Air and Ground program. Always happy to work with those folks. Always happy to talk to those who represent them, including Derrick Henry. Derrick, good to run you down. Really nice to have you on the program. Great to talk to you.
And thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great having you, Derrick. Have a great day. Appreciate you. Derrick Henry, 45th pick overall in 2016 out of Alabama. Had a great college career and is now the man in Tennessee. They're putting it on his shoulders. And he appeared courtesy of FedEx Air and Ground Program. And I'm still getting reaction to the five-year anniversary of self-glossing. At Haunted 00 Horse tweets, if you can't locate the zookeeper, I am available. Signed, the Dougler. Doug in Vancouver. Doug, nice to have you on. How are you?
Good, how you doing?
Good, you?
Pretty good, buddy. What up, America? This is the Dougler. I'm from the city of fad diets and yoga pants, otherwise known as Vancouver, Canada.
Ah! That's not a good call. No. Sorry about that, Dougler.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Sorry about that, Dougler. Yo, Doug, what's up? Actually, it's Dougler. No, it's Doug, and now you're done. You'll be Dougler when the jungle deems you Dougler. For now, you're just Doug.
Now I'm done.
Dear Rome, I have vivid memories of the self-gloss segment from 5 years ago. I had just started listening to the show, and I remember I laughed my ass off, not only throughout the segment, but for at least a half hour after the show ended. Frosty Sasquatch was my favorite self-gloss. It is a pity that you will not play it back. Signed, Tony from Iowa City. You're the only one who thinks so, Tony. Nobody's missing anything with that. All right, anybody else want to react to it? Hey, look, I threw you a bone. I acknowledge the anniversary. I played you back some of the original from the anniversary. We're not doing it again. We don't need to do it again. Hey, don't worry. Some moron will call with a self-gloss before you know it. But I'm not going to open it up and say, hey, you want to have a little fun? All right, go ahead. You can all self-gloss. You know, then what? Every 5 years? Every 4 years, every 2 years. I do it every year. I do it biannually. How about I just allow self-glossing on the show? No, I did it 5 years ago. You had your fun. I gave you a taste. Let's keep moving. We're not going to do the same show over and over again. Clones got to evolve, man. You got to get better. You can do better. You need to do better. All right, those are the interviews. When we come back, let's talk about the Rockets. Good night for the Houston Rockets last night. Really, really good night for the Rockets last night. I'll hit that. Also, an all-time pimp job. An all-time style job on a home run last night, which I will try to get to. Eddie Olczyk, episode 78 of the Jim Rome podcast. In fact, we probably should talk double OT game 7 last night. All that's still ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Quickly, this email says, Rome, I can't watch on CBS, but when you said there was a staffer who had a wife who was getting a C-section today, did Alvin suddenly start panicking and scrambling to pick up his stuff, assuming he was having another kid?
Dude,
Tony in Albuquerque.
No.
Alvin's got a lot of kids. I lost count. He has lots and lots of kids. My man got spayed. He's fixed, man. We don't have to worry about that. He did not move. Dude, why'd you make that face? Didn't you? Dude, no? No? All right, so part of the Box of Chaos. Do you remember the famous Box of Chaos? The Box of Chaos was, remember when I was up for the Radio Hall of Fame? And it went to a vote. People had to vote. And I said it was kind of a tough way for me to go because I didn't want to campaign for the votes, but I had to campaign for the votes. It went to a public vote, a popular vote. So I said to you clones, what do you want in exchange for a vote? So we had a Box of Chaos, and you all submitted your wants. In exchange for votes, one of the things you wanted was Alvy to get a vasectomy. So had I gone in, there was a possibility that he would have got cut. So, dude, you're not cut, right? Two good things. One, Alvy can still plant his seed. And two, in the event that I've got to come to you clones in exchange for something, it's still on the table. Dude, why do you look so aggravated? Look at him. He's like, okay, me, I'm not saying anything right now because I'm making a face. This is Alvin. He looks downright furious. Normally, it just kind of shakes me off like, dude, no. That's a face of great anger and disdain. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network and you can't see him, look at me. He's making this face. No, it's not Alvin. It's the flight deck, James Kelly. So James Kelly is now about an hour away from having another child. His wife is going to have a C-section. He was blowing up my phone earlier today, ranting on about the NFL draft. It's his favorite day of the year. Yeah, I get that, big head. But this should be your favorite day of your life. You're having a child. But then that didn't stop him last night. He and I were getting down. We were gambling and chasing last night and losing. All right, I'll own that. I was doing that. We were gambling and chasing on playoff action. In other words, my man's thinking about everything except the kid. Dude, pick him up really quick. Adam. Adam Hawk, EP. Have you heard from the flight deck? And if so, how recently?
Yeah, he just texted me and Chael Jr. Very upset that he missed the reset of the self-glossing segment. As you know, James Kelly is a huge clone. He lives for this kind of stuff. So he was upset that he missed that.
All right, so I love the guy for that. I love that he cares that much about the program. Because some of you, no names mentioned, don't care enough about the show. This guy cares too much about it. Dude, he literally, his wife is having a C-section, Adam, in an hour. Like, it's coming off in an hour. Why is he still texting us? Is he listening? Put your headphones on, dope. Come on, man, I'm not done with you. Were you dismissed? Is he listening?
I have no idea. I mean, he could be streaming on the wonderful radio.com app from the hospital, or he could be watching on his hospital TV on CBS Sports Network, you know, DirecTV. Dish, all that good stuff.
Does the wife think that he's an extremely dedicated employee, or does she think that he doesn't give a damn and he's not focused on what he needs to be focused on, namely the birth of his big-headed child?
I think she thinks she knows exactly who she married, and James Kelly. Yes, exactly. Okay. They know what they got into.
They do. All right, they know what they signed up for. All right, thanks. So James Kelly is... he already during this show, now I understand that it's not his first rodeo, but still it is a child and a C-section. He's already hit me up directly, and I didn't hit him up. Believe me, I'm not reaching out to him like, hey, big head, I need this from you. Hey, James Kelly, what's going on with this? No, he just, with an unsolicited take, hit me up with, Daniel Jeremiah's right. Josh Rosen for a third is ridiculous. He's better than any of these guys coming out. And look at that contract he's on. And then he just hit Hawk with, man, I'm so bummed I missed that self-gloss segment. Dear Jim, good luck to the flight deck today. Me and my partner are still trying. Yours, the kook who is trying to get knocked up by a ghost. Brett from Buggahaw, Ward Daniel Jeremiah. His concise, insightful sports takes remind me a bit of myself. Yeah, Brett, every time I hear DJ, I think about you. Yeah, Daniel, man, you're amazing. Daniel Jeremiah, as I said, he is the preeminent draft analyst in this country. But man, every time I hear that guy, I think, God, he's so much like Brett from Buggahaw. Rome, the Warriors have won before. I'm sure they'll be fine this time. Signed, guys that drive their trucks onto frozen lakes. Rome, it's a good thing they won the cup last year, or we could be saying, how cap-like to blow a two-goal lead. How cap-like to lose a Game 7 at home. How cap-like to blow a 3-2 series lead. How cap-like not to advance past the second round. Last year will be the exception and not the rule. Glad you all partied like rock stars, because that will be your only cup. Ovi, Mark and SC, he's got a point, right? Like, that was supposed to kill the rap. That was supposed to change everything. They were the one franchise that could not get over. The one franchise that would let you down. Well, them in San Jose. But then when you get your name on a cup, that's supposed to change everything. Like, it's never going to come up ever again. will never come up ever again or come up the very next year. Rome, those big fat bastards in Washington got a double serving of endurance shoved down their throats last night. Maybe mix in some sprints at the end of every third practice next season so out-of-shape dads don't gas out and lose a Game 7 at home. Jeff from the 919, war fat-ass bird not being able to fly past regulation. War Justin Williams. All right, I need some time. I want to get to that. 1-800-636-8686. Why don't we go to Little Rock, Arkansas? John in Little Rock, Arkansas. You know John. When he's good, he's great. And when he's not, he's not. And you never know what you get from John. The only way to find out is to go to John. My man, Big John. What's up, John?
What's up, Romy? Y'all got it. Best show on earth. I was just going to let everybody know that I'm the original Frosty Sasquatch. I remember that day, Rom. I called in once. Our homeboy, he said, no, that ain't good enough. So I hung up, and I said, I'm going to go all the way off the wall. And I came back, and I thought about the Frosty Sasquatch. Thumpity-thump-thump-thumpity-thump-thump.
No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
John, if I reset self-gloss day, but I did not play that phone call, you have to imagine that if you're going to sing about that, you're not going to get through your call either. You've all had your fun, all right? There's no reason to talk about Frosty the Sasquatch anymore. Now you're done. Now we're done. I mean, the first call that came through, the first Frosty call was just downright disgusting. It was filthy. It was nasty. But you were going to turn that into a song, and that was going to be all right. You can't talk about it, and you can't sing about it, and there's really no reason to go there. So that's not a thing. Well, we're done with that. We're done with the self-glossing. We're done with Frosty. We're done with the entire thing. All right, that thread is officially dead, choked out, lit on fire, never to be seen or heard from ever again. And don't come in here with, hey, Rome, I normally hate that guy's guts, but why didn't you let him finish? You know why I didn't let him finish. Now I'm going to try and get back to my program. The break comes at a perfect time. Nice try, John. Really nice effort. Good job. Good effort, John. You should know better. What I might do when we come back is talk about a Game 7, another night, another epic Game 7 in the NHL. Double OT. The defending champs out. John out. Frosty the Sasquatch. Wow. I really should have let him get to the chorus, right? First the zookeeper, Rome, and now John. It is now time for a sports update. If you've been waiting, here it is. Doubling back to the NHL. The Caps won it all, and it looked like they had killed that rap. They'd killed the rep they had, and it was all going to change. Everything was going to change. So last night, another epic Game 7. And it was one night after Vegas and San Jose needed overtime to settle their legendary tilt. The Caps and the Canes needed double.
Double.
I tweeted it two nights ago after the Sharks and the Knights brought the Zamboni back out for OT. The only thing better than Game 7 hockey is more Game 7 hockey. Well, the only thing better than that is having more Game 7 hockey on back-to-back nights. Final score in double OT. Carolina 4, Washington 3. The Canes moving the hell on. The Caps moving the hell out. The defending champs got put in the ground by none other than Mr. Game 7 himself, Justin Williams. You talk about a great nickname, Mr. Game 7. Hell, Captain Clutch is jealous of that gloss. Mr. October wishes he got a taste of that respect. Big Shot Rob is looking up at J-Dub. And let me take a minute to put a little shine on the 37-year-old cold-blooded killer from Ontario's feel-good town. Justin Williams is 8-1 in Game 7s. Even more insane is how big of a monster this guy is when the chips are in the middle. He has scored 15 points in Game 7s, most of any player in league history. 7 goals during that time. He buried teams when he was with Carolina back during their first cup run. He buried teams when he was a king. And he's still burying fools 18 years in. A 3-time Stanley Cup champ and a Conn Smythe winner. Last night in double OT, after the Canes cheated death about a half dozen times, Mr. Game 7 digs the puck out of the corner, goes no look, tape to tape, back post with an absolute dime for the game winner.
What an effort by Justin Williams once again tonight in a Game 7. Wilson couldn't get his stick on the puck. Hurricanes keep it alive. Williams towards the net. Score! They score!
This dude. Post-game, Mr. Game 7. Talked to my man, Pierre McGuire, about his team and the guts that they showed all series long.
What switched this series? Because after the first two games, most people thought this was over. What switched it?
I think just the belief all along. It's belief that we can do it. And anyone could say it, but actually doing it and believing it in the dressing room is another thing. And our guys really fought, and every single guy had a part in this.
The Canes were freaking brass. They did everything most people thought they could not do. They were harder to kill than Mason Storm. They bounced back after falling behind in that series 2-0. They didn't blink when they were down 3-2. And they held the freaking line last night when the Caps scored 2 goals in the first 6 minutes of that game. Anybody else, and that game probably is over. But the Canes don't quit. Not when Mr. Game 7 is wearing the C, and not when my man, Rod Brind'Amour, is your head coach. Now, Cap fans, as much as I want to tell you that the champs went out the right way and laid that title belt on the ice like noble warriors, let's be real. Carolina didn't just beat you. They went out and they snatched that series right off your neck like Aqib Talib chasing down Mike Crabtree.
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the bet.
Carolina was beat to hell. Carolina was a shovel deep in a dirt grave. Every time the Caps went to bury them, the Canes swung back. I mean, listen, nothing could take away last year. Nobody's going to forget that cup run. But losing 4 of the last 5 to go home in round 1 still has to sting a lot. Seeing Barry Trotz sweep the Penguins while your guys are sweeping off the patio furniture has got to hurt. Maybe not as bad as seeing Carolina out-hit, out-hustle, and out-work you. But that's got to hurt. And nobody can take that cup from you. It's a good thing. Because, man, could you imagine if they didn't win that, the heat they'd be getting right now for another meltdown? 1 round down, 3 to go. All 4 top seeds are dead. The cup is anybody's. Wide open. Last night was the perfect finish to the most chaotic opening round of playoff hockey ever. And this is why I say it every single year. It's beaten down. It's tired. It's not fresh. I've said it a million times. But this is why the NHL postseason is the best postseason. Stop telling me how whack I am. Stop at mentioning me and watch one of these games and tell me I'm wrong.
I love when you talk hockey.
Right, Bella? I love when I talk hockey. I love it. I love it. All right, let's go to the phones.
I love it.
But I love it. 1-800-636.
But I love it.
8-6. Let's go to Kentucky. I love Kentucky. Stephen Kentucky, except he has gloss. Kentucky Cobra. Yo, Cobra, what's up?
Not much, Jimbo. I'm going to keep it short for you because your time's limited. You're very time-consuming. I love listening to Brad and Corona. I love Bodie. Love Vic and NoCal. My time's short here. My job's coming to an end. But I'm going to keep it strong. I'm starting to flame out. But I just want you to know you got the best show there is. Hopefully I'll be able to pick it up somewhere on my next job. And to the Sandman that run the Cobra into the ground last time, the only thing the sand is good for is cat boxes. Well, I'm out. Keep it strong, guys.
The Cobra. That's why he's the Kentucky Cobra. All right, my man. Here's the thing. He said, I hope I can find the show on my next job. It doesn't matter where you are, you can find the show. It's one of the most frustrating things in the world to me that so many of you think I moved or the station flipped formats or you're no longer on that station. I can't find you. The show is the show. There are a million different ways to find the show. It literally does not matter where you live or what station you listen to. I mean, I want you to listen to the station in your market. What I'm saying is, if there's not a station in your market that carries this show, it does not mean that you can't find the show. Now, if you can't find the show, you're not hearing this. So it defeats the purpose. If you're listening right now and you know somebody who's like, damn, man, I can't find the show. I can't find the show. I moved or I got another job. We will get you the show. How about this? Find us. Find us. Tell whoever you know who's like that to call the listen line and talk to Adam Hawk. Or tweet at me, or tweet at Hawk. We will tell you where to find the show.
Definitely
it doesn't find. Matter where you live or where you work or what you do. The show is omnipotent. It's everywhere. We will help you find it. Trust me. Terrence and Sierra Madre is my favorite topic like that, my favorite example. I'm like, dude, this guy's dead. He's dead. Terrence, one of the great callers we've ever had. He's dead. Until Leff and Laguna brought him and a bunch of others back. I'm like, Terrence, dude, seriously, we thought you were dead. What happened? Yeah, I don't know, Rome. You're no longer on that same station in L.A., so I just, can't find you. Terrence! Dude, how many years of amazing phone calls did we miss out because Terrence couldn't find the show? The show is the show. The show's not going anywhere. Not if I have anything to say about it. Just hit us up. 1-800-636-8686. All right, then, let's go to Barry in Des Moines. Good to have you, Barry. What's up?
Hey, Rome. It's actually not Barry. My friends call me the Barracuda.
Ah. That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
You got deeked, Hawk. You got deeked. Barry in Des Moines. It's not Barry. It's, Barracuda. Hey, don't mess with the Wilson sisters. You know I love Hart. That's not funny. It's a rockin' tune, man. I love them. Give me some, Albie. Give me some. Give it to me today. I've never seen Hart. Not live. I would. I might. I will. Or if Alvin gets around to it today, I'll just listen to the riff. Dude, that can't be that hard to find. It's Barracuda.
Ooh, Barracuda.
Nice going, James Kelly. 1-800-636-8686. Let's see. Hart is playing at the Hollywood Bowl in September. I might think about that. Hollywood Bowl is a great place to see a show. I've done that once. Okay, if you were me and you had a minute or so left and the two guys who have been on hold the longest are Parody Larry and Casey in Pensacola. Parody Larry's been on hold for 5 months and Casey's been on hold for, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's like Russian roulette, right? Who would you take if you were me? I think I'll go to Casey. Casey in Pensacola. Casey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Romy Rome?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, is it any wonder that James Kelly's wife is having a C-section is my first point. You've seen that cracker's forehead. But this call goes to Rick and Buffalo, Parody Larry, Mike and Indy. They all like their subs like Jared likes his Subway, like he likes his women.
Ah. That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Is it any wonder the flight deck's wife is having a C-section? You've seen that cracker's forehead. Cracker. James Kelly. Oh, dude, his head is huge. Hence the gloss flight deck. Cracker is a bit strong. I'm not having that, Casey. Come on, man. You've done a lot of regrettable stuff on this show, but call my boy a cracker. James Kelly is one of the great employees we've ever had. The guy knows more about more things in sports than a lot of guys I know. Cracker? Casey, watch yourself, man. Like, I want you to be involved with the program somehow, some way, but not if you're going to do that. Not to my boy, James Kelly, who's now 38 minutes away from having another kid. Have you seen that cracker's forehead? Is it any wonder why his wife is having a C-section? Have you seen that cracker's forehead? Yeah. Yeah, I do, Casey. Every Friday, he's on the other side of the glass. I always see it. Man, now I'm done. And not a second too soon.
Now I'm done.
NFL draft this evening. We will be all about that tomorrow. James Kelly, Godspeed, kid. Good luck with it. He's about 37 minutes away from being a father once again. Derrick Henry made it. Damian Lillard was amazing. You got to find that interview. That was such a good conversation. Daniel Jeremiah also was nails. My thanks to the XR4TI crew. Have a great day, and we'll be right back here tomorrow. See you then. We're out.
Ooh, Barracuda!
Ah.